Ashley.
Hello.
Amberger. Welcome.
Hi, Derek. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Well, I'm in Costa Rica, so I'm sweating slightly, but I just bought a new fan yesterday, so I'm very proud of this purchase, and it is currently blowing on me.
No AC or what?
Actually, there is AC. I live in a brand new condo complex, but apparently the AC is broken, and no one will come to fix it, so I'm left to my own devices.
Gotcha. Well, confession, Ashley and I have been talking for about 15 minutes up until now, but we want to let you guys in on the conversation, so I hope that's okay. Ashley is in Costa Rica, and she is a copywriter, and I'm sure she can do a much better job of kind of introducing exactly what she does. So, Ashley, can you just kind of give us a rundown of like your background, your history, and maybe relate that a little bit to freelance copywriting?
Yes, sure, Derek. Derek, right now we run a copywriting agency called No Apology Included, and we specialize in particular in copywriting for companies who want personality. So that's really, really, really our niche there. The blog, you know, that most of our business comes through is The Middle Finger Project, which I've been running since 2009. And in a past life, before I started TMF Project and No Apology Included, I used to do copywriting professionally, first at the corporate level, and then I started my own copywriting business, which was a total flop back, we're talking like 2006 or so. So I started off from scratch, then I went to advertising from there, and I was in the advertising industry for a few years. And then I started my current company, so here I am today. And again, it's, you know, it's copywriting for companies who want personality.
Was that too quick? That was great. Is it direct marketing type stuff? Is it direct advertising, or what kind of copywriting are you guys doing?
The majority of all of the copywriting that we do is web copies, so mostly web presences and sales pages for online products and services.
Awesome. Okay, and I mean, I think a bunch of the copy I remember is that's where everybody's headed. I mean, getting their website together. So, all right, I have kind of three sections of this interview that I want to go through. The first section is how do you get good at copywriting? The second is how do you go about getting clients and how do you network? And then from there, once you're starting to do that, how are you actually negotiating the fees and setting all that stuff up? So kind of the first question, like, how did you get your start copywriting? How did you get good at copywriting? You said you worked in a corporate environment. Is that where you really got your start? What's your background?
Oh my God. You know what? It's funny because I never had any intention on becoming a copywriter or a marketing person for that matter. When I was young, you know, I studied PR. That was my thing. I wanted to work for a television station, which I did for a little while, actually doing PR. And then I ended up switching gears because I got a really cool job offer at a small company in Philadelphia doing their PR and their marketing. And it was kind of like this situation where they didn't have a big budget, but they did have a little wiggle room in terms of company ownership and things like that. It was a really neat opportunity and something where I had a chance to take a small company and completely reinvent it in terms of their marketing strategies and their PR. And this was something that I didn't, you know a lot about at the time. So I jumped at the chance. I started working actually with a marketing expert who was based in Florida, but he flew to Philadelphia, you know, for several months, and we worked one-on-one together every single day. I flew back and forth to Philadelphia or to Florida a couple of times, and it was from him that I learned the art of copywriting because I had to for this role, and I just immediately fell in love with it. I loved the psychology behind it. I think it's so fascinating to take words and how words can inspire people. You know, I feel like marketing is not about, you know, convincing people to do stuff that they shouldn't do, but really just kind of hooking on to the little spark of enthusiasm they might have about an idea or a product or service and really making them feel it. I love doing that. And so much of that is accomplished through psychology. So that's, I think, where it started for me and why it took off for me as a career when it was not something I ever planned on doing.
Yeah, that sounds like a great opportunity, because I feel like, you know, most small business owners at least have a very defined vision, even more defined a lot of times than a lot of bigger companies. They have a very defined vision of how they want their brand to appear and how they want, you know, how they want to do their marketing. So the fact that they just kind of hand over that job to you, that's fucking awesome. Like, I'm sure that was a dream come true. And you know, the PR stuff, I always view PR as just, you know, it's marketing, and it's the same kind of principles that apply to copywriting definitely apply in the PR world. You know, it's all about the headline type stuff. So when you actually, you know, when this guy was flying back and forth teaching you different things, were you reading a bunch of books along the way? What were you doing? I mean, or was it all just like, I'm putting stuff out there, I'm writing sales letters, or I'm writing the website copy, and that's kind of where I'm getting my trial by fire? Or was it, you know, were you also studying along the way?
I love that phrase, trial by fire. I think that's how I've learned everything in life. Yeah, you know, at the time, Derek, it was a lot of hands-on stuff with him and following his instruction and going through it and going through different exercises, you know, sitting down. I remember, you know, and this helped me a lot with copywriting as well, but I remember learning how to start cold calling people, because that eventually was a part of my role as well, since a lot of my salary at the time and my bonuses was performance-based. So I started taking things more and more into my own hands. And I will never forget this guy sitting down and, you know, opening the phone book, so to speak, and making me just cold call people out of the blue just for practice. And it was the scariest thing I've ever done in my life. But it, you know, it's really good for you. So that was the way I learned, was really just having to get thrown in there and do it. But of course, on my own, I was doing some reading, but it was not something I did formally at the time. And now, to continue that idea, I would say that the books that I read most that have helped my career are absolutely psychology based, and not so much here's how you write copy.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Do you have any recommendations, like a hot tip on a book that you think is good?
Off the top of your head. I was reading this one book, actually. I'm a total Kindle whore. I can't even tell you how many books I have in my Kindle that I have not read yet, and it makes me so angry.
Damn
inside.
One click buy, you know?
Yes! Brilliant on the part of Amazon.
It is.
It's a total downer on my self-esteem. I'm like, why can't I read them all? So I started reading this one book that I bought, I don't know how long ago, just the other day, and it's called Contagious. And I don't know if you ever heard of the book Made to Stick by chance. Have you heard of that book?
I'm fucking reading that right now.
Shut up.
Yeah, no, and that's one of those books that I downloaded like 4 months ago, and I've been trying to get to it, and I just haven't. That's funny you say that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, this guy who wrote Contagious, his name is Jonah Berger. He, I believe, was a student of one of the authors of Made to Stick. So his idea with this book, Contagious, is, okay, you know, Made to Stick teaches you, you know, how to become memorable in people's minds. But this book is a bit of an extension on that, and really had not just become memorable, but how to get your ideas spread a little bit more, too. So it's been a really good read. It's really down to earth, and it's been insightful in so many ways. And I just appreciate, you know, even if you only get one or two golden gems out of a book, it's still worth reading. And it's been a really fun read. So pick that one up.
Do you ever, when you're reading a book like that, do you ever kind of revisit some copy that you've written and go back and try and add in the certain elements? Or is it more just kind of an overall strategy type approach?
Yeah, I'm always kind of moving forward, but I will say that sometimes I go back and I read copy or things that I've written in the past, and I either pat myself on the back because I'm so proud that I wrote that, and I'm like, wow, I wrote that? Or I look at it and I'm like, oh my God, I wrote that.
Exactly.
Constantly thinking.
So if you had to guess, like, what's the percentage of writing versus studying when it comes to, you know, learning copywriting, getting better at it? Like, how much writing to studying would you recommend?
Oh shit, it's all about writing. You can't get around that. You know, it's the whole thing. Like, you can read about baseball, but if you never pick up a bat, you know. It's really about the writing. And for me, it's hard because it's, you know, a lot of it for me, I would say, comes naturally. So over the past, when I've given different copywriting workshops, I've had to really work to break down my own process in kind of in conjunction with the different techniques that I've learned. But I would say, you know, it's the same principle, this trial by fire, as you put it. So I'm a big proponent always of finding work. And, you know, I have a lot of students in the past who are, you know, they're frustrated and they're confused because they're like, well, I don't understand because no one's going to hire me if I don't have a portfolio, but I can't get a portfolio if no one hires me. Kind of a thing, the infamous catch 22. So I always look at them and I say, okay, well, why don't you have someone to hire you? And they say, because I don't have a portfolio. And I say, is that really the reason? And they say, yes. And I say, no, it's not the fucking reason. The reason is because you're not willing to do what it takes to get hired. So get out there. I mean, if you're living in Philadelphia, say, let's say you're living in Newtown Square, Philadelphia. You know, all it really takes is a little elbow grease. Get on your boots, put on your mittens, and do a walk around the block. There are 10 to 20 local businesses right in front of your face that could probably use your help. And walk your ass in the door and say, hey, I'm Ashley. I live right around the corner. I have a copywriting business. I'm doing this promotion right now, you know, some kind of a community initiative or effort to help local businesses. And you know what? You're right here. Do you have a web presence? Is there any way that I can help you out? This is the deal. Here's my card, kind of a thing. People will be jumping at the chance. Take 30 days and write some copy for free or at a discounted rate or however you want to do it. And all of a sudden, you have a portfolio.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
Well, there's a major echo.
Sorry. Welcome to Central America.
No, that's a. I mean, that's just an absolutely fantastic point, and just the cold calling stuff. Every copywriter that I've spoke to that's worth anything has talked about that they're, you know, doing the cold calling, and also just the same idea of finding local businesses or whatever to get your foot in the door. So when it comes to getting clients, like in the very beginning, do you recommend people kind of narrowing down and like finding their niche type of copywriting, or is it just like, you know, see what you can do, like just literally see whatever jobs you can find? Because, you know, you can approach maybe somebody in the online space saying, I'm the autoresponder person, or, you know, I'm the email marketer, or I specifically do sales letter videos, or even like I work in the fitness niche, or I work in whatever, the dating relationships niche. Do you recommend anything along those lines?
You know what? I love those lines, Derek. I love them so much, and I'm a real stickler for this. I know a lot of people have different opinions, but this is mine, and that is simply that there's a lot of copywriters out there, and the word copywriter doesn't really jump out at anybody. If you just walk around town saying I'm a copywriter, or you just put up a website and say I'm a copywriter, it doesn't really resonate, and you're setting yourself up for a lot of competition. You can't stand out if you're just the same as everybody else. On the other hand, if you start off small and really specific, as I'm sure you know, it is so much easier to get recognized that way, and it turns you into an automatic expert in whatever it is. When I first came on this interview, the first thing I said was, we specialize in copywriting for companies who want personality. The next time anyone listening to this thinks of, ooh, we need personality into our copy, they're going to think of me and not just anybody who labels themselves copywriter. You know, it's the same premise if you go to a doctor. If I have cancer, I don't want to go to a general MD. I want to go to somebody who specializes in autoimmune diseases or whatever it is, you know? And I'm going to pay more for that too. And I think that's really also the bottom line.
That's awesome. I completely 100% agree with that. And what was my other question? Oh, so basically, do you always market yourself as just like a straight up copywriter, or do you guys do other services where you're, because I mean, I've noticed for myself, like I do mainly marketing consulting, and I kind of bundle my copywriting in with a bunch of other services because mainly people need that. You know, they don't, when somebody's looking for a copywriter, a lot of the times it's not just they need a copywriter. You know, they need a lot of other marketing help that's not just the copy. So do you guys do that, or are you guys just like straight up, we only write the copy, you take care of everything else? Or do you guys do strategy and marketing consultation like that?
Yeah, you know what, Derek? I am a shitty, shitty, shitty consultant. And the reason is because I can barely keep my own project straight on a week-to-week basis, let alone someone else's. You know, this is a truth that I have come to accept. And so I prefer to just play up to my strengths. And we do only specialize in copywriting. Although, you know, when we first started, we realized the same thing that you're just mentioning now is, hey, everybody comes to you and they also kind of have all these other question marks. Like, well, what do you think about this? Or do you think I should go this route or this route with my opt-in? Or, you know, what about all these things? And that's where somebody like you would come in. Unfortunately, the way that we run it is we kind of put you through a pre-qualification process. If you come to us and say, hey, I really want you guys to copyright for us. Meredith, who is our right-hand woman, you know, goes, you communicate with her and she will always say, okay, you know, here's the first steps. You know, are you at this point? And if we find that they're not at that point, then, you know, we give them a series of steps to follow so they can get to that point. But until they're ready for us to write their copy, we don't take them on as a client. And that's just because we like to keep things efficient. We like to keep, you know, one client at a time. So in order to do that, we have to kind of, you know, set deadlines and stick to them. And there's not a lot of room for up in the air-ness. We go for it. So you have to be ready.
Makes sense. So do you guys, I mean, how do you guys get the majority of your leads? Like, where are your leads coming from? And the reason I ask that is because somebody that's probably just starting out is thinking, I probably need to get a website together. What does that website look like? How do I start generating leads on the online space? Obviously, you know, you want to hit the ground and actually go into these businesses, like you were saying, and maybe just pick up the phone is enough. But when you start thinking about maybe bringing in leads via the online arena, how do you guys go about getting leads? And do you recommend that a beginner start with the website at some point?
Derek, yeah, and all of our leads, 100%, is all online via the Middle Finger Project, 100%. You know, save a couple of different PR opportunities. We were just in, like, Entrepreneur Magazine a couple months ago, which is really super cool, and, you know, like, Rachel Ray called the other day, which is also really cool.
Really?
Yeah, and, you know, that's the kind of stuff that happens accidentally when you have a strong enough online space. So you definitely, it's for me a non-negotiable whether or not you intend on primarily getting leads offline or online. I still think the online presence is 100% crucial. You know, and the reason is because if I'm going to hire a copywriter, for example, I don't just want to know that they can write the copy, which first of all is hard enough to prove as it is. But, you know, for something like that, if I'm giving you my business, it's my baby. Mm-hmm. And I want to feel some kind of connection to you. I want to feel like I know you. I want to feel like I trust you. I want to feel like I like you. And that's how a lot of people work. You know, I change dentists if I don't like him. I don't care how well he cleans my teeth. If it's agonizing and awful every time I go, I'm going to change. So with that in mind, I think that's really where the online presence comes in strongly, because you can, you know, share a little bit about your personality and also demonstrate your writing skills. So a lot of my students always ask, do I have to have a blog that's about copywriting? I say, hell no, because you're demonstrating your skill set right there within the context of the blog. So it doesn't have to be about copywriting.
Ideally, that was going to be my next question, because I was wondering what your ideas are on content for a blog that's specifically there to attract copywriting clients. You know, because
the thing is, okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, because you can be attracting a couple different audiences with that, where you're attracting maybe just the freelance copywriter who wants more information on copywriting, but is that really attracting the business owner that needs copy? You know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'm sorry if I sound like I'm barking. I tend to bark a lot when I do interviews. I'm sorry.
Bark away. Bark away.
Yeah, I was just going to say that the goal is to have your target audience read the blog and not just to have a blog for the sake of having a blog, for example. Mm-hmm. So if you need them to read the blog, then it has to be something that they're interested in general. So in my experience, most small business owners aren't going to be interested so much in learning about copywriting as they are, you know, a different topic. So
is that what the middle finger project is? What's like the, what's the core topic?
Oh yeah.
To boil it down. It's copywriting, right? Or it's lifestyle.
No, I would say it's about loosening up your shirt collar, whether you're a company or a person.
Nice. Okay.
I'm giving a talk on a cruise this November called Stuck Up in the Bitch, but the bitch is crossed out and then it's replaced with the word brand. So really that's what it is. It's about loosening your shirt collar. But, you know, let's say I am just starting from scratch and I want to be a copywriter who specializes in injecting personality into different companies and their copy, mm-hmm. then I would assume that most of the people coming to me are like, oh yeah, you know, they really want their company to feel a little bit more human and those kinds of things. So copywriting, you know, obviously it's important in your blog to demonstrate that, hey, I know what I'm talking about. So those things can be sprinkled in there for sure, but I wouldn't worry so much about keeping such a strict editorial calendar with everything has to be copy, copywriting. Because unless you're looking to attract aspiring copywriters, it's not going to be that interesting to your actual target audience. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you mean. Do you, I mean, obviously you guys are going after people that want to inject personality. Do you ever worry that your strong personality and using cuss words and everything is going to turn off your targets, or if they're offended by it, then that's not your audience type thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's all of the work that we do, every single client, I promise you, always starts off with, we love the way you write and we want your...
We want to use fuck in our sales letter.
No, we love everything you do. We want your style of writing, but we just want you to tone it down a little bit and not use any of that kind of language. Mm-hmm. Every single client. So,
yeah. So you answered it. You answered the question. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. It's, you know, I've found that the best copywriters and the people that position themselves as being great copywriters, that they're polarizing. So they're very one way or the other. So they're, you know, very crude, or not necessarily crude. I wouldn't call you what you do crude, but like you have a very extremely strong personality. You just don't give a fuck. It seems like to me, at least from the outside. So, and I think that that is just what successful copywriting is. It's polarizing in a way. So I think you've done a good job with that.
I think definitely, it's really hard. I never ever stumble across hate mail or clients who, you know, no, I mean, the clients that write me know 100% that they want to work with us. They don't ever ask to see samples. It's amazing. They know. And I think that the whole polarizing thing that you just mentioned really plays a part in that. They just know because they feel that strong connection. Whereas if you've got a website set up and you're not really showing your own personality, you know, if you're a small team and you're not showing your personality, it's really hard for a potential client to decide, you know, whether to go with you or Joe Schmo or Tina Turner or whoever, if they're all kind of saying like, hey, we create compelling copy and use that same sparkly language on the front. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to make a connection. So I think that's why being so real, however that is, definitely works. And I mean, I have to say, I'm in the process of hiring new copywriters right now. I can't hire them fast enough because I can't take on the business fast enough. So it's good. The proof is in the pudding.
Awesome. And so you're in Costa Rica now, managing everything from there, which brings up, I'm sure, just kind of a host of other little problems and whatever else, running a business. But do you find any clients via like networking type activities, or it's just strictly all online?
Oh, there's a lot of online networking that goes on. I'm not talking about Twitter or me or my anything, but we also have found a little niche in, you know, tech startups. So I started working with a couple of tech startups a few years ago, and just by word of mouth, I mean, you do a good job for these people and you play an integral part in their success, and they can't say enough good about you. So the next thing you know, they've got a buddy who's also in a tech startup, and one thing kind of spirals into another. So I would say networking does play a big part of it. It's just maybe being redefined more and more as we make more and more online connections, instead of, you know, going to, I used to go to those, just like a referral meeting called The Tip, I think it was. Have you ever heard of this?
Just The Tip?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I haven't heard of it.
Yeah, back in Philadelphia way back when, and it was like, you know, Tuesday mornings at 7 o'clock, and everyone, the goal was to refer people in the group to people that you know and kind of make those connections. And it really, it was awful. It was useless. I don't think anyone ever, you know, it just was so limited. But with the internet, you've got so many more opportunities. So many of my clients are in California, you know, England, Australia, different places that I would never be able to do if I just tried to network with the guy down the street. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So just before we jump into kind of negotiating fees and how you get started with that, just kind of the whole location independence thing. So what have you found running your business from Costa Rica? What unique challenges has it been? Just, you know, is it something that people shouldn't worry about at all as far as getting clients, being able to get work while you're sitting on a beach in Costa Rica type thing? And yeah. Internet and...
Yeah, the internet's a pain in the ass sometimes. The power goes out at least once every 72 hours, and that drives me bonkers because you never know when it's going to come back on.
You need a good hard drive.
That's really hard. I would say that's probably the biggest challenge that I have, though. Being here is, in the last few years that I've been running this particular company, you know, I've been in, as you know, Philadelphia, Costa Rica, Chile, Ecuador, Spain, England.
Who are these people contacting you? Those clients? Yeah, I hear it.
They're not clients. I don't talk to clients on Skype. Just the point is that I've been all over the place, and it hasn't affected my business at all. And I think that's really the nice part about it. The only thing it does affect is the fact that there are really cool things in all of these countries that I have not actually gone out and been able to do because I've been so busy cooped up inside running business. So mm-hmm. That is kind of...
That's always the problem with traveling. And it's funny that that's like the hardest part normally is like you feel like an asshole for not going out and looking at a statue, you know, or something. I don't know.
Yes, God, first world problems, but I was in Barcelona for like 3 months, and if you asked me what my favorite restaurant was, I would have no idea. I couldn't even name one. I have no idea. That's embarrassing.
That's pretty bad. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Terrible. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it's paying off now. All right, let's talk about fees, because I think that that's a problem for most people. It's like, well, I'm not proven necessarily. I'm just getting started. How much can I charge? How do you negotiate fees up front?
Fees. I'm also kind of opinionated on fees.
Yeah, no, that's what we need. People need opinions, you know?
Yeah. I was just talking about this with my girlfriend, my very dearest girlfriend since the first grade, who has recently started her own design business. She's a graphic designer, so it's a little bit different, but we were just having this conversation the other night about what to charge. From experience, I know a couple of things. One of them is that when you are entering into business with a client, you want the client to feel as comfortable signing that contract with you as possible. And you don't just want them to feel comfortable, you want them to feel elated. You want them to feel just jumping out of their skin excited that you are actually going to work for them. So in terms of fees, I found that the client is always much happier when they know up front what they're spending and they feel like they're getting a deal. So to that end, I always, 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 always charge on a project-by-project basis. I do not work by the hour. I don't recommend it. I don't like it. I think it's annoying for the client because they never really know, you know, are you really tacking on hours? Who the hell knows? And it's annoying for you because you have to track them and feel like a first grader, you know, tracking all of your time. And sometimes the best copywriting, I would say 50% of my copywriting is not writing. It's me sitting there staring at the wall and thinking. So how am I supposed to enter that into a spreadsheet? I don't like it. I think that charging on a project by project basis, a flat rate, you know, maybe with some exceptions of, you know, past any, you know, number of revisions, then maybe it's X amount of dollars per hour. Maybe that would be an exception. But other than that, I'm a huge fan of project by project.
And do you do all like just lump fees? I mean, or are you actually, do you ever take a percentage, you know, based on how well the letter does or?
I don't. And you know what? It's that's something I've thought about and I've considered doing in the past. But quite frankly, I don't feel good about it. So I'd rather just charge you for what I'm doing now. And then good for you. If it makes you $1 million, awesome. I hope you refer me a lot more. But no, in terms of taking fees after that, I don't do it.
Mm-hmm. And so do you charge differently than the people that are working for you? Or is everybody, you basically, somebody comes to you guys and it's like X amount of dollars for a sales letter? Or is it like you look at what exactly they need and then you're say, and then you give them the quote back? Because I thought I saw somewhere on one of your sites you had like prices for sales letters.
Yeah, I have packages set up to kind of avoid the back and forth quoting, nobody knows. I really like having packages set up because it sets up expectations for clients as well. You know, for example, I have one that's just 5 pages of web copy, and then I charge differently for separate sales pages. The reason why I do that is because if I didn't, and I just said 5 pages of web copy, then a client, because they're, you know, not a copywriter, is just going to assume that one of those pages could be a sales letter or things like that. So to set up expectations in advance, I like to set up the packages. If it turns out that they need something else or something customized, we're happy to do that. But otherwise, most people are pretty cool with that. They pick a package, and then, you know, that's revenue for the company. From there, you know, I've got a host of subcontractors. So, you know, one of them I'm having, she's actually flying down April 8th. I'm very excited. She's coming down, and we're going to have some strategy sessions here in Costa Rica. But I have a separate contract with her just to take, you know, percentage of all the projects that she does. And then I've got some others that I'm, you know, paying kind of as in-house copywriters as like a monthly fee, flat fee, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how we work it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, that's not how most people do things, you know. Just from what I've come across, it's more, you know, you can contact me and then I'm going to go back and forth with you and, you know, quote you something. Most people don't put together the package, so it's interesting to hear that you guys are having some good success with that.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned before, I am a real fan of efficiency. And every single day I look at my company and I say, all right, is this something that I could sell as a franchise?
Are you writing copy right now?
No. Do I sound like I'm writing copy?
It sounded like you were on your keyboard.
No, oh no, I was putting a sugar in my coffee, sorry. every day I look at my company, every single day, every single move I make, every single thing I do, and I always say, is this something that I could franchise? You know, and ultimately the goal is to get to that level, and not because I want to franchise it out, but because I want the systems in place so everything runs as efficient as possible. And quoting on an individual basis kind of takes that system out of there and puts a kink right into it. So I try to avoid that as much as I can.
Gotcha. That's it's a really interesting way to do things. So I maybe just two more questions. One question that I get, and I already know what your answer is going to be, and it's just a ridiculous question, but I get questions from some women copywriters that are basically nervous that copywriting is kind of like a man's world. Let me just get your thoughts on that.
I don't even know what to say.
Do you not get that question? I get that question all the time.
God,
women being worried that they're not going to be getting the jobs. They're going to lose the jobs to men. Like, men business owners aren't going to trust them to write copy.
I do think it depends a lot on the nature of the industry, of the clients, of the target market, and also, you know, what type of copy you're writing. I think that the whole men-dominated idea is definitely coming from, you know, like the direct marketing kind of group of people, which makes sense because that's where you see the most, you know, success stories. I would say that online, though, honestly, I feel like women have been more successful.
As copywriters?
Yeah, I mean, with copywriting businesses, I feel like it's more and more, how can I put this without sounding like an asshole?
I was wondering how I could put that question without sounding like an asshole, so maybe we just quit while we're ahead.
I just don't think it's an issue that is even worth worrying about. It's not even a question. I think that I have plenty of men clients. I've written copy for online pawn shops, for Christ's sake. I mean, that I feel is totally on the other side of the spectrum for me. And you know, that was a guy. Lots of men. We're working with a financial firm right now, and that's a guy. Yeah. That's something I ever thought about.
Yeah. How do you stay focused? Because I know that it sounds like you're just working on a ton of different projects and different spaces and different niches. How does your mind like be able to focus on writing for all these different spaces? Or do you think kind of across different niches? I mean, obviously the human psychology is human psychology, and what drives people to action is pretty similar. There are fundamental principles, but if you're writing in a bunch of different niches, it's hard to go super deep and get super specialized in a certain area. How do you remain focused when you're kind of all over the place with your clients?
Great question. Yeah. I only work with one client at a time. I've made it a rule for me because for that reason, I cannot keep things straight. You know, as I mentioned before, that's why I'm a terrible consultant. I'm terrible at details and those kinds of things if there's too much going on. So I need to focus on just one client at a time. I do have, you know, obviously the other copywriters at TMF can work on other projects simultaneously. I obviously have to go through and
oversee
all of them, yeah, and kind of check them off. But it takes a lot of the mental brain workout if I don't have to sit down and really get into understanding all the concepts first. If they've got like a baseline, then I can work from there. But if I'm writing the copy, it's really one client at a time. I have to do it that way. And that way, you know, it allows me to do just that, is to get my head into the game, get it wrapped around their industry. I build in time for that with all of the projects that I do deliberately, you know. But yeah, other than that, my other recommendation is really Basecamp. That saves my life every day.
That's funny. I've tried Basecamp. I keep abandoning it. I've been using Asana now. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it's just another project management tool.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't tried any others, but my entire life is in Basecamp. Every single thing. I mean, from picking out Christmas presents to to copywriting, you know, clients and all sorts of things. The gamut in there.
That's funny. All right. Well, I was gonna ask you just like what niche are you fucking fantastic at writing for? Like, what's your, if you had to pick your super niche, like, for copywriting? What are you fantastic at writing to copywriters? I mean, it seems like you are, just from my perusal of your website.
My secret passion is taking, actually, I recently worked for they're an email marketing consultancy. So they don't provide the software, but they go in and manage the email marketing program strategically for big companies, like Nike and things like that. And that was a really exciting project to work on. And I love doing stuff like that that's related to internet marketing, because my whole thing is flipping, you know, the expected on its head and coming at it with a fresh approach. So I love taking technical kind of knowledge, email marketing, internet marketing, those kinds of things, and make it sound new again. That's what I really like to do. We have a lot of, you know, service providers that come to us and that kind of a thing. So I've gotten really, really good. You wouldn't imagine how awesome I am at writing for photographers.
Really?
Oh my God, I'm awesome. And I've managed to somehow make every single photographer seem completely different from one another and use completely different language. I'm proud of that fact. But I would say that my secret passion is really actually email marketing, internet marketing, but from a fresh perspective.
Cool. That's awesome. All right. So somebody wants to get in contact with you. What should they do? Where should we go? Go to the middlefingerproject.org.
Yeah. It might be easier to just go. We have tmfproject.org too, and that's less typing for you.
Damn it. I've been spending all this extra time.
Yes, that's it. Or just TMF Project on Twitter.
Awesome. And can you tell us about Brandgasm? Because I know that depending on when people listen to this, I don't know exactly if they'll be able to get their hands on Brandgasm, but give us the breakdown on that real quick.
Yes, Brandgasm is just a really fun new class that we're doing online for small business owners who want to look and sound professional. I mean, maybe if you guys have a lot of copywriters, maybe copywriting is not so much where they need the help, but it's a combo hybrid class of copywriting and do-it-yourself design for your marketing materials. So how to make a plain PDF or a plain contract that you're about to send out to a client really stand out and look super professional, like it was professionally designed, you know, or other things like that, like even your Twitter background or you know, different product badges or product banners if you've got some kind of a service that you're doing on your site, you know, how you can make a really fun banner for it, for the title and the name, so it doesn't just look like plain text, and make everything look jazzy. So that's what we're doing with Brandgasm 101.
Brandgasm101.com?
That's correct, Brandgasm101.com. It's a collaborative project between myself and Shatterbox. Shatterbox Inc., they do web design.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. I bet everybody at home, their mind is just blown right now. So
yeah, from my man voice.
Your man voice? You don't have a man voice.
I swear, I always joke with my students about it. I'm like, you guys are going to have to listen to my man voice for at least an hour now.
I always wonder about people that might be listening to my voice while they're driving. And just, I just think about that for some reason. It's kind of weird to me.
While they're driving in specific.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the driving part. The walking doesn't bother me. It's the driving.
Yeah, I personally don't like it when they're listening to me when they're swimming, really. You know, very awkward.
Well, that's, you know, that's, people can do that now. You know, they have those special earphones.
Yeah, those special earphones.
All right, let's just end this.
It's been a pleasure, Derek.
All right. Thanks, Ashley.